Our scripture reading is, we've already read one passage, that's Psalm 86, we read responsibly. The other two passages, Ezekiel 33, verse 30 to the end, and verses from James chapter 1. If you're using the blue Pew Bible, the page numbers are in the bulletin. Ezekiel 33 is page 721, and James 1 is 1011. This is the word which the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, not only for his instruction, but for ours as well. Give heed to the word of God. As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act, and their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. When this comes, that is, when the prophecies of Ezekiel come, and come it will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. And then James chapter 1, begin reading at verse 18, not 19, and read to the end of the chapter. Speaking of God the Father, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every one of you be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his own natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we acknowledge that it is by your word that you brought us forth from death to life. It is only by your word that we are sanctified and continue to be delivered from guilt and sin. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us each one to be quick to hear and deliver us from sinful anger. Help us to put away filthy thoughts and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For a great many people who go to church and say they are Christians, there seems to be a big problem. They can hear God's truth preached. They can hear God's truth taught on Sunday and agree with it. But then live as if they had not heard or did not agree. There's a disconnect. Hence the title for the message this morning. And I think you and I need to examine ourselves. We always need to examine ourselves in the light of God's Word and ask this morning, is there such a disconnect in me between what I believe regarding the Word of God, profess what I believe, and how I think, speak, and act the rest of the time? This disconnect is illustrated by the people who loved to hear Ezekiel preach. And the solution to this disconnect is pointed to by the warning of James and by the prayer of Psalm 86, 11 and 12, which provides our outline this morning. So point number one, this is from Psalm 86, 11 and 12. Point number one, desire God's Word. Teach me your way, O Lord. Point number two, commit to do God's Word. I will walk in your truth. And thirdly, pray for God's work in you. Unite my heart to fear your name. Well, point number one, desire God's Word. Ezekiel was a prophet sent by the Lord. And he had bad news for the exiles, the Jewish exiles living in Babylon. Jerusalem has fallen. In fact, that news had come to them already. And God sends his prophet Ezekiel to them with a message that will explain to them why Jerusalem has fallen. They want to know what God has to say. They understand that Ezekiel's preaching is really the message which the Lord has given him, and not just his own ideas. This is good. Now, they agree with 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, if you will, where we read, no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. It was a good thing that the Jewish people in Babylon wanted to hear the Word of God. You could say that their view of Scripture was an orthodox view of Scripture. We have that in common with them, I hope. And we all should long to hear God's Word taught and proclaimed. We all should be described by 1 Peter 2, verse 2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. We all should pray with Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. Why? Well, maybe you can answer this question, but I'm going to give you an answer. Because God's Word is God's truth, and it is the truth that we need. Only the Word of God could explain to the Jews why God had ordained the destruction of their city and what the lesson was for them in terms of their sin and their need to repent. And only the Word of God can explain to us how our own sin, Adam's sin, and our sins have separated us from God and make constant messes of our lives and of the world we live in. Only God can tell us the truth that we need. left to ourselves, to our own confused, excuse-making, sin-justifying thinking, we are not able to straighten out the messes we make of our lives. We need the light of God's Word to show us our sin and our wrong thinking. We need the light of God's Word to point us to God's answer. God's answer in the saving work of His Son Jesus, our only hope. We need the light of God's Word to show us the way to forgiveness through faith in Christ, to direct us in new life, life of obedience and the blessing of God. We need God's Word to give us hope and encouragement in that life. And so we should pray, "Teach me your way, O Lord," and mean it. Ezekiel's hearers were right to believe that he had a message from God. They were right to want to hear it. We also should want to hear and learn God's Word. We should pray, "Teach me your way, O Lord." But Psalm 86 takes us further. Not only do we pray, point number two, not only are we to pray, "Teach me," but in our prayer, we should also be vowing, pledging, that we will walk in God's truth as He makes it known to us. Ezekiel's hearers had a big, tragic problem. It's expressed in verse 31 of Ezekiel 33. "They come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people. And they hear what you have to say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk," or with talk about their sinful desires, their covetous desires, "in their mouths they act. Their heart is set on their gain." They want to hear the word of God, but they do not do the word that they hear. What does God say about this sort of disconnect? Well, He speaks to us through His prophet James in the New Testament, James 1:22. He says, "Prove yourselves to be," what? "Doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves." To hear God's Word and not do God's Word is self-delusion. I think I have done something very good by reading the Bible, or by going to church and hearing a sermon. I think that these things make me a good person. But if that is all that I do, just hear, just read, I have done nothing. The Word has not profited me. In fact, I'll say worse than that. The Word will bring judgment on me. The more I hear of God's Word and do not take it to heart so that it shapes and governs my thinking and my doing more and more, then by hearing and not doing, I become more and more deaf to the word that I hear. It will come and hit my ears, but less and less will it penetrate my understanding and my heart. It will have the effect, this hearing but not doing, it will have the effect of hardening me against the Word of God. The more easily then will I stumble into temptation and sins and foolish self-confidence, And eventually, if God in His grace does not intervene to stop the downward progress into sin, then death comes. And greater judgment from God, because I should have known better, I was hearing His word. We need God's word for salvation and life, but God's word demands a response from us, a response of faith in Christ and in the triune God, a response of obedience by faith. So when you read the Bible, when you come into worship and hear God's word, you should do so knowing that you are dealing with God, not just words on a page, not just a minister's opinion or religious rituals. And before God, as you read the Bible, as you hear His word, before God, you should commit yourself to take His word to heart, to truly believe it, to do it, to live by it, to let it search you, to let it show you your sin and lead you to repent of that sin, to correct your wrong thinking and living. Repent of any disconnect between God's truth and your living as God brings it to light. Commit yourself to believing and doing the Word of God. Pray with Psalm 86, verse 11, "Teach me your way, O Lord, I will walk in your truth." Under Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior. But there's a really big problem here. And that is, you and I cannot do this. Not on our own. Not on our own effort. Not out of our own natural abilities. We are sinners at heart. And always, if left to ourselves, inclined to turn away from God and be deaf to His word. You need, point number three, you need to pray for God's necessary work in you. Unite my heart to fear your name. What was wrong with Ezekiel's hearers? Divided hearts. They knew the Lord God. They knew that Ezekiel preached God's word. They knew that they needed it. But when they went away from hearing it, they forgot what they had heard. They said, "Isn't Ezekiel a wonderful preacher? Isn't he eloquent and moving?" They thought his words were like a lovely song. But they soon forgot his words. They thought that hearing God's word was enough to do them good. But they continued to be ruled by their own sinful, idolatrous desires. Today someone may say, "Wow, that sermon really hit home. I needed to hear that." Well, good. But don't let it stop there. So what? God doesn't say, "Hear about my son and his salvation." God says, "Turn to my son. Trust in him for your salvation. Surrender your life to him to be your Lord." God doesn't say, listen to words about forgiveness. God says, repent of your sins and be forgiven. And forgive others as you would be forgiven. God doesn't say, listen to words. Okay, kids, I'm talking to kids now. God doesn't say, listen to words about honoring and obeying your mother and father, or even memorize them. God says, honor your father and your mother. God says, obey your parents in the Lord. God doesn't say, think how lovely the Sabbath commandment sounds. No, God says, honor my day and keep it as holy. Well, we could go on with more examples, couldn't we? It wasn't bad sermons that were the problem for Ezekiel's hearers. It was their divided hearts. They wanted to think of themselves as God's people who believed God's word, but they obeyed their sinful desires instead. Now, do you, and I speak this to myself, do you see any of this in yourself as well? Well, pray that the Holy Spirit will search your heart and use His word. For Ezekiel's hearers and for so many of us, there's this big disconnect inside between what you know you should do and be and what you actually are and do. I'd like to discuss some roots of this disconnect. Three of them, hypocrisy, mental passivity, and the message of our culture. Hypocrisy. Well, this is just natural to human nature. It's not something unique to Americans at the beginning of the 21st century. But blinded by pride, I want to believe that I am good or not really all that bad. And so I hear the Bible and I think that hearing it makes me good or puts me in good stead with God. But don't actually repent of my sins. Don't actually turn to Jesus for forgiveness and deliverance from them. But look, that's two-faced, which is the meaning of the word hypocrisy. If I really trust Christ for my salvation, if I really belong to Him, I cannot tolerate that in myself. I must repent of it. I must repent of two-faced living. I must ask God to make me single-minded, united in my heart, in my devotion to the Lord. The next two roots of the disconnect that I see, and it's an increasing disconnect as I look around me, are more attuned to where we are culturally and historically. Root number two, mental passivity. Mental passivity. Generations of Americans, and I'm a member of the first generation of which this is true. Some of you are a little older than I am, and it may not be so true for you. And I'm not making excuses. I'm not making excuses at all. But generations of Americans raised on television to be spectators. We're a spectator nation. Somebody else plays the football game, we watch it. Somebody else plays the baseball game, we watch it. We watch dramas in which people do terrible things and, the policeman solves it at the end and, okay. Watch and hear. Watch and hear. Be entertained. Never have to do. Watch and hear. Go away. And forget. Enough of that. Day after day, year after year. And it just becomes natural to hear things however significant and important, and walk away and forget. We can see horrible disasters reported to us graphically on television, and our hearts be wrung by them for a few seconds. Then the announcer comes out with a smile, and a commercial comes and sells us something fantastic, and we've already forgotten. And it's made no claim on us. And the same is true so often of the Word of God. Hear it, forget it. Well, zombies, wake up! The Word of God demands a response. Third root in our culture. Truth for here, truth for there. And no need to harmonize. The truth that, you know, brings us all together here in church and makes us, you know, feel good about our relationship with God, give us, you know, some good resolves, maybe make us feel guilty in us so we feel like we've done a little atoning for our sin with all this guilt we feel. That's one set of truths. But then, you know, what truth operates in the business world, in the political world, in the world of my friends, and so on? That's another set of truths. And, hey, one truth for church, another truth for the world, no problem. Because that's how the world is. Now, I put it to you like this in plain language, and you say, that's not right. I know that there's only one truth, God's truth. But the problem is that the message of our culture sort of seeps into our pores. It's constantly coming to us. In every genre of popular music, in movies, and, you know, people say, boy, I miss the old movies that were moral. Watch the old movies and look at the moral relativity of them. They just don't go to bed with their clothes off in front of the camera. But the relativity has been there all along. Music, movies, TV, the people around us, the way the world works, it seeps into our pores. And the problem is this, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. John 17. One truth embodied in Jesus Christ, given to us in the Word. One truth to measure all other claims to truth. We need to pray earnestly with Psalm 86, verse 12, unite my heart. Unite my heart to fear your name. Deliver me from hypocrisy. Deliver me from mental passivity. Deliver me from being sort of sucked into the world's way of thinking that truth is relative. Every sinner who would hear God's word and receive God's blessing needs the work of God's Holy Spirit working in your heart. You need the Holy Spirit to give you an undivided response to God and to His Word, not a two-faced response, an undivided response. You need the work of the Holy Spirit to give you not only a saving faith in Christ, but a saving faith that you embrace and live without hypocrisy. You need the work of the Holy Spirit to give you a heart that is one, united in its allegiance to Christ and to His Word. Jesus, the eternal Son of the Father, Jesus, coming into this world, served His Father with single-minded, wholehearted devotion. the only descendant of Adam ever to do so. And then he went to the cross, where he bore the sins of hypocrisy and double-mindedness in order to atone for them for us. So we may confess and repent of these sins before God, and He will forgive. Jesus rose from the dead, reigns as Lord in heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit to make believing and repenting sinners whole in their devotion to God. Pray for the Spirit's work in you, that Christ will be honored by a life of integrity. Pray with Psalm 86. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Let us pray. Father, that is our prayer. We pray that your Holy Spirit would indeed use your word now to search us. If we see in ourselves any degree of disconnect between what we know we should be and what we are apart from Christ, if we see in ourselves any disconnect between what we believe from your word and what we say and do, God, give us grace to confess and repent of that, to pray with all earnestness and sincerity that you would unite our hearts to walk in your ways. You give us a hunger and a thirst to grow in your word, because by growing in your word, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.